أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Lesson number 50 Ayah 152 وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ And Allah had certainly fulfilled His promise to you when you were killing the enemy by His permission. We learned that the Battle of Uhud that took place between the Muslims of Medina and the Mushrikeen of Mecca. Initially, it was a battle in which the Muslims were successful. And soon after, their victory was turned into defeat. Why? Because of their disobedience to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Muslims returned to Medina from Uhud, some of them were wondering, how come this happened to us? We're supposed to be believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us victory. How come we suffered such a great loss? What happened? So over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ What's the promise of Allah? The promise of help, the promise of victory. Allah proved His promise true to you. Meaning Allah did give victory to you. When? At the beginning of the battle. Everything was fine. You were getting the help of Allah. Everything was in your favor. Is the husunahum bi idnihi when you were wiping them off with His permission. The word the husuna is from the root letters ha seen seen from the word his, and his is used for sense. For instance, the sense of touch or the sense of smell or seeing or listening. There are different senses that a person has, and hassa is to hit someone. It is to strike someone on his senses. It is to strike someone on his senses. And remember that when a person is struck on his senses, then it could be a fatal blow as well. It could lead to death. It could lead to death. So the word hassa is used for killing someone by striking them on their quwwa hassa, on their sense. It's also said that hassa is to make someone dead or to kill someone how? By making their senses dead. By making their senses dead. And in Arabic, hassa from his, it is to hit someone, to strike someone on his his. This is something that is common in the Arabic language. For example, the word batan. What does batan mean? Stomach. So, batantuhu means I hit him on his stomach. So, hasastuhu meaning I struck him on his his. Eventually, that strike, that blow was fatal. It could lead to death. And also it is said that tahusuna gives a meaning of to make one's perceiving power dead. Meaning you killed them by finishing off their his. His of what? Of seeing, of looking, of hearing, things like that. So is tahusunahum when you were killing them? Them refers to who? The enemy. And how were you doing this? Bi-iznihi, by His permission. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you. He made it possible for you. He gave you the tawfiq. By His help, by His amr, you were being victorious. And everything was fine in your favor. Hatta idha fashiltum. Until you yourselves gave up. Until you lost heart. Until you started to show weakness. When you started to show weakness, then obviously you lost the help of Allah. And eventually your victory turned into defeat. When was this? The Prophet ﷺ had appointed a band of 50 archers on the top of the hill. And those 50 archers were commanded that you must not move, even if the people in the battlefield are snatched away by the birds. You're not moving from there until and unless you're allowed, until and unless you're told. And when they saw that the enemy was retreating, what did they do? They also left their posts. They thought, we have won already, so the battle is over. So they left their posts and they went on to gain some dunya. So this is what is being mentioned over here, that everything was fine until you yourselves gave up. Fashiltum is from the root letters fashin lam, fashala, which is to lose heart. It is to lose one's spirit. It is to lose one's vigor and courage. So everything was fine and you lost your courage. How did they lose their courage? How did they lose their determination? when they saw the booty. It was their vigor, it was their courage, it was their steadfastness that kept them on their posts. When they saw the dunya, fashiltum, you became weak. You lost your confidence. You lost your vigor. And then you left your posts and you went into the midst of the field in order to collect the war booty. Hatta idha fashiltum. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And you disputed concerning the matter. تَنَازَعْتُمْ is to pull something. And تَنَازَعَ is to pull something from each other. What is it? It is to try to pull one thing from one another, from each other. And from this the word تَنَازَعْ is used for dispute. So حَتَّى إِذَا تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Until you disputed in the matter. Which matter? Which affair? Which matter was this that they disputed in? Abdullah ibn Jubayr was their leader. He was the head of the 50 archers. Some of them said, let's go, the battle is over. Others said, no, we should not go because the Prophet ﷺ told us such and such, we're not allowed to leave. So, hatta idha fashiltum, you lost your courage, you lost your vigor upon seeing the war booty, you left your spots, and then tanazartum fil amr, you disputed with regards to the instruction that the Prophet ﷺ had given. وَعَصَيْتُمْ And you disobeyed. You disobeyed who? The Prophet ﷺ. How? By abandoning your stations in search of the war booty. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ After that he showed you what you love. After Allah showed you that which you love. أَرَاكُمْ He showed you. Who showed you? Allah showed you. What did He show you? مَا تُحِبُّونَ That which you love. What is it that you love? Victory as well as booty. You love it. You saw that you were victorious and you left your positions. You saw the war booty and you couldn't resist and you left your posts. You left your positions in order to obtain that booty. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ With regards to this part of the ayah, some scholars have said that what this means is حَتَّى إِذَا تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ وَفَشِلْتُمْ Because in the ayah, إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ is mentioned first, correct? But if you think of it, تَنَازَعْتُمْ came first, then عَصَيْتُمْ came, and then when the enemy attacked them, that is when they lost their courage completely. Correct? If you look at the sequence of events, what exactly happened? They started disputing, then they disobeyed the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ. And then when the enemy attacked them, instead of getting back together, what did they do? They lost their courage. And when they heard that the Prophet ﷺ had died, they lost their courage completely. So some scholars say that fashiltum actually comes after. And this is something that is common in the Arabic language, that sometimes the sequence of events is not mentioned in the exact way as the events actually happened. Sometimes they're not mentioned in the chronological order, but rather that which is most important is mentioned first. What was the main problem? Fashiltum. You lost your courage. You lost your courage. Everything was fine. You were boldly and fiercely fighting in the battle until you lost your confidence. You lost your determination. You lost your determination. And when you lost it, that is when the problems began for you. And that is when you lost the battle. That is when your victory turned into defeat. Minkum, among you, man yuridu dunya, is one who desires the world. Among you is one who loves the dunya, who wants the dunya. Yuridu from irada. And what is irada? The intention. It is the reason why a person does something, why a person performs a particular action. So some of you went to battle, why? Desiring dunya. Which is why, when they saw the booty, they abandoned their stations in search of that dunya. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ And among you are those who desire the akhirah. Which is why, even though they saw the booty right in front of them, they didn't move. They didn't leave their posts. But rather, they obeyed the Prophet ﷺ. They held on to the instruction that was given to them until they were slain. ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ Then he turned away you from them. meaning Allah turned you, you meaning believers, anhum from them. Who does them refer to? The mushrikeen. And the word sarafa is from sad ra fa. Sarafa is to turn away, and sarafa an is to prevent someone from something. It is to prevent someone from something. Do not let someone go forth. Do not let someone move forward and divert them. It is to divert someone. So for example, if a child is going towards the refrigerator and you want to stop them, you don't let them go. You turn them away by force. You divert them. You show them something else. You show them very nice keys. They got distracted. So صرف عن is to turn someone away from their objective. Do not let them go where they're headed to. So he turned you away from them. What does it mean by this? That you, O believers, were being victorious over the mushrikeen, but he turned you away from them. Meaning, he did not let you be victorious over them. Why? As a consequence of your tanazur, of your isyan. When you disputed with one another, when you disobeyed the messenger, when you lost heart, when you lost your determination, when you yourselves were not determined, then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also did not let you be successful. He turned you away from them, meaning away from being victorious over them. How? Through defeat. It is also said that what this means is that ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ, that he turned you away from them. That the mushrikeen, what happened then at this point? They were attacking the Muslims. Correct? The Muslims were under attack now, and they weren't ready for that attack. About 70 Muslims got killed at this point. About 66 Ansar and 4 Muhajirun. But what happened? Everyone did not get killed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the Muslims away. How? That they began ascending the mountain. They began escaping the battlefield. So ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ, so that he tests you. Lam over here is of illah, ta'leel, reason. So he turned you away from them, meaning he did not let you be victorious over them. Why? So that he may test you. يَبْتَلِيَ from ابْتِلَى, ba lam waw. And ابْتِلَى is used for a test that is manifest. That is manifest. Meaning, people find out about it. It's public. It's open. For instance, وَإِذِي بِتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ, when the Lord of Ibrahim a.s. tested him. All of his tests, they were quite visible. They're known to us. They're mentioned in the Quran. Many of them. So, لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ, so that he may test you. Why? So that the sincere one is made manifest from the one who is not sincere. The one who is sincere is made manifest from the one who is not sincere. Both of them are clearly distinguishable. Who is really sincere and who is not sincere? Who wants dunya and who wants akhirah? Because up until now, the Muslims and the hypocrites, the Muslims with very strong iman and the Muslims with weak iman, everyone was mixed up. Everyone was good. But when this happened at the Battle of Uhud, that is when it was known that there are some people who actually want dunya. We learned that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I never thought that anyone of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam desired the dunya until this ayah was revealed. I never thought that anyone of those people who were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam desired the dunya until this ayah was revealed. So it was the beginning. It was only the third year. It was the beginning. So people still had love for the dunya. And when this happened, لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ, so that he may test you. Why? So that the sincere one is made manifest from the one who is not sincere. So when a person is put in difficulty, his heart, his reality is exposed to him. And not just him, but it is also exposed to other people. And it's in a way a big blessing for the believer, that he realizes what his weaknesses are, what his weak points are, so that he can focus on them and he can improve himself, he can reform himself. لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ, so that he may test you, so that he may manifest you. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. And certainly, He has pardoned you. عَفَى, from عَفْوٌ. And what does عَفْوٌ mean? To wipe. So He has wiped off your mistake. He has forgiven you completely. Despite all of this, He will not punish you for your mistake. When we listen to these verses, when we learn that some of them, they disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ, we think that's such a big deal. And look at the consequences. The Muslims were being victorious and the victory turned into defeat because of the mistake of some people. How come they were not punished? Because it was still the beginning. And they were, after all, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And their sacrifices, their efforts, their sincerity was still there, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah is one who shows fadl to the believers. ذُو فَضْل is one who owns fadl, one who has a lot of fadl. And fadl is extra. So ذُو فَضْل for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means is that He shows favor to people. So He shows favor to who? عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, to the believers. How? That when He forgave them, when He pardoned them, when He did not punish them. And also, وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. How? That all of the believers were not killed. About 70 were killed, but everyone was not killed. So this was also a big favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn from this ayah? First of all, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Muslims, helped the believers at Uhud, just as He helped them at Badr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised His help to the believers. So Allah did help the believers at Uhud as well. It wasn't that He didn't help them. No, He did. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah fulfilled His promise to them. However, it was their own mistake, it was their own fault that turned the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away. What does this show us? That sometimes we lose the help of Allah because of our own faults. And what are those faults? What are the three mistakes that are mentioned over here? فَشِلْتُمْ, losing your own determination, being shaky, losing confidence. Should I continue this or should I not continue this? You know, up until you're determined, up until you have your azm and you do tawakkul ala Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you. But the moment you start thinking, maybe I shouldn't, it's getting too difficult, then with your negative thoughts, you lose your determination, you lose your confidence, you don't put in as much effort. For instance, if you're doing a simple task such as cleaning the house, washing the dishes, you don't have any determination, you don't have any resolve that let me do this quickly, finish this off and get to something else. I don't want to do this. How long will it take you? How long will it take you? Very long. And if the situation is such that you start panicking or something seems so urgent and you feel that an action should be taken right away and other people disagree, they're not thinking the way you're thinking, what happens? Instead of communicating clearly, we end up arguing and disputing with each other. And the thing is that disputing is not going to lead you to solve the problem. If you start fighting with each other, it's not going to solve the problem. It's only going to make the problem worse. When the Prophet ﷺ had appointed a leader, Abdullah ibn Jubayr was their leader, what should they have done? Obey. Listen to him. They should have followed him. So similarly, in every situation, in every circumstance, there is always some leader. And if there isn't, then there must be a leader. There must be someone who is in charge. And whatever they say, whatever final word they give, that is what we should do. Even if we disagree with them. Why? For our own betterment. For our own success. Because disputing, arguing, fighting with one another, it's not going to solve the problem. It's only going to make the problem worse. And what's the third mistake? Asaytu. Disobeying. Disobeying who? The leader, Abdullah ibn Jubayr, and more importantly, disobeying who? The Prophet ﷺ. What does this show us? That if we do not obey the Prophet, if we do not follow his sunnah, then we are going away from success. Then we are going away from success. As we know about I'm sure most of you have heard about that battle in which the Muslims were, and it wasn't conclusive, meaning nobody was winning. Neither they were winning nor the enemy was winning. And eventually, the Muslim army started thinking that which sunnah are we leaving out? Maybe it's because we're not following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that we're suffering from this. Huh? And they realized that they hadn't done miswak. Miswak. Basic sunnah. They realized that they hadn't done that. And they started doing miswak and they won very soon. What did we learn in that ayah? In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. As a result, yuhibbukum Allah. Allah will love you. And when Allah will love you, He will send you His help. He will assist you. أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that you are shown rahmah, so that you are shown mercy. So this shows to us that if we want the help of Allah, if we want to be successful in what we're doing, we must be determined. Secondly, we must not fight with one another. We may have differences, but don't fight with one another. And thirdly, we must follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. These are the keys to success. These are the keys to gaining help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, without the help of Allah, we cannot do anything at all. Also, we learn from this ayah that upon receiving a blessing, what should we do? We should be grateful. Because all of this dated when? مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. After He showed you victory, after He showed you the booty, that is when you lost your determination. That is when you thought, oh, it's fine. We can do whatever we want now. That is when you started fighting with one another. That is when you disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ. So upon receiving a blessing, upon receiving success, we should be grateful. And not asaytum, not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many times, upon getting a dunya, what do? We disobey Allah. Many times upon receiving blessings, what do? We disobey Allah. Also we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear to the believers that there are still among you those who have love for the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting you through a test so that this love of dunya is exposed to you and you may do something about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in difficult situations so that we know our weak points, we know our weaknesses, not so that we're humiliated in front of other people, but so that we can reform ourselves. So each time a weakness is exposed to us, whether it is somebody else who comes and tells us, you have this weakness, you should try to improve it, instead of, you know, taking it to heart and getting very upset, what should we do? Be grateful that we know what mistake we're making. Because if we don't know what mistake you're making, how can you correct yourself? It's like if someone cooks food and it's always very bland, and nobody tells her and just praises her, oh, your food is excellent. Is she going to be able to improve her food? She won't be. It's out of your well-wishing. It's out of well-wishing for you that somebody is telling you, somebody is making clear to you, making known to you what mistakes you're making. Also we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the companions. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. And we must not forget this. Because many people get stuck on this. Look, the Sahaba, they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of this reason, some people go on to the extent of insulting the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. But we must remember that Allah forgave them despite their mistake, because radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. We learned that an Egyptian man, he came to Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, oh Ibn Umar, I want to ask you about something. Please tell me about it. Do you know that Uthman radiyallahu anhu, who was Uthman radiyallahu anhu? He was a third caliph and he was also the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, do you know that he fled away on the day of Uhud? At the battle of Uhud, he fled away. He was of those people who fled from the battle. Ibn Umar said, yes. The man said, do you know that Uthman was absent on the day of Badr and did not join it? He wasn't there at the battle of Badr either, the first battle. Ibn Umar said, yes. The man said, do you know that he failed to attend the Ar-Ridwan pledge, the Bay'ah Ridwan? You know that he failed to be present over there and he did not witness it. And which was this pledge? It was the one that was made at Hudaybiyah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes. The man said, Allahu Akbar. Meaning, if a person has not participated in a major battle, and he fled away from another major battle, and he wasn't there at a very important pledge, then how come he's been made the caliph, or how come you revere him so much? How come you respect him so much? Ibn Umar said, let me explain to you all of these three things. As for his flight on the day of Uhud, I testify that Allah has excused him and forgiven him. And he said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Allah has said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. So Allah has pardoned him. Allah has excused him. And as for his absence from the Battle of Badr, it was due to the fact that the daughter of Allah's Messenger was his wife, and she was sick. And Allah's Messenger said to him, you will receive the same reward and share of booty as any one of those who participated in the Battle of Badr if you stay with her. Why did he stay back? Because his wife was unwell. And who was his wife? The daughter of the Messenger of Allah. So he was told to stay back at home. And the Messenger told him that if you stay back, you will still get the same reward. As for his absence from Ar-Ridwan Pledge of Allegiance, had there been any person in Mecca more respectable than Uthman, Allah's Messenger would have sent him instead of him. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was the one who went to Mecca. And it was because of him that pledge was made, when he was rumored dead. No doubt, Allah's Messenger had sent him, and the incident of Ar-Ridwan Pledge of Allegiance happened after Uthman had gone to Mecca. Allah's Messenger held out his right hand saying, this is Uthman's hand. He stroked his other hand with it saying, this pledge of allegiance is on behalf of Uthman. Then Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said to the man, bear these excuses in mind with you. So before objecting at the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should remember, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Because there are many people amongst the Muslims who criticize the companions, insult the companions, humiliate them, disrespect them. And if there's any mistake that they learn of them, they make it such a big deal. They blow it out of proportion. But never forget, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Allah has forgiven the companions. Yes, they made mistakes, but they were also human beings. And the sacrifices that they made, they are much more compared to anyone else's sacrifices. As we learn, I mentioned to you the hadith earlier as well, that if one of you were to spend gold equivalent to the amount of Mount Uhud, it would be nothing compared to what the companion spent. Even if what the companion spent was very little. Why? Because the degree of sacrifice is very different. وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ.
Recitation.
وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
إِذْ تُصْعِدُونَ وَلَا تَلْوُونَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ. Remember, when you fled and climbed the mountain without looking aside at anyone, while the Messenger was calling you from behind. The believers are being recalled, are being reminded about what they had done at the Battle of Uhud. إِذْ, meaning أُذْكُرُ, remember when this happened. When did this happen? When the mushrikeen, under the leadership of Khalid ibn Walid, they attacked the Muslims from the rear. Because the Prophet ﷺ had appointed the 50 archers at the mountain, which was towards the back of the Muslims. Why? So that the back is protected. It is shielded. But when those archers moved from there, what happened? The back was open. The rear was open. And so Khalid ibn Walid, he recruited all the fleeing mushrikeen, and then they regrouped themselves and they attacked the Muslims from behind. So, إِذْ تُصْعِدُونَ, when this happened, obviously There was a big chaos amongst the people, and then the Muslims started climbing up the mountain in order to save themselves. So tus'iduna is from the root letter sad, ayn, dal, from the word su'ud. And su'ud is to climb up. It is to climb upwards. Where? To a high place. And sa'ada is used for climbing up quickly. What does it mean to climb up quickly? And is'ad is used for climbing up from low ground to high ground. And sometimes it is also used for descending. But basically it gives a meaning of going quickly, ascending or descending quickly, climb up or climb down. And why is this word used for climbing down? Because there is, you know, height. That, for example, you climb up a ladder or you go down a ladder. So over here, tus'iduna, you all were ascending, you all were running, you all were going upwards. Where? Up to the Uhud. Secondly, it has been said that tus'iduna, it doesn't give the meaning of going up the Mount Uhud, climbing up the Mount Uhud, but what it means is that you were running far away, fleeing in the distance. What does it mean? That you were running far away, fleeing in the distance. So first of all, what does it mean? You were climbing up the mountain. Secondly, that you were running far away, fleeing in the distance. Now you might say, why the contradiction? It's not contradiction. It's double meaning. And that is exactly what happened. Some people started climbing up the mountain. Others ran away from the field. So if tus'iduna wala talwuna ala ahadin, and you wouldn't turn your neck back to anyone. Talwuna is from lam waw ya, and we have done this word earlier as well. يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ. They twist their tongues when reading the book, when reciting the book. And لَوَى لَي is to turn or to twist, to bend the tongue or the head. What does it mean? To turn, to twist, or to bend the tongue or the head. So تَلْوُونَ over here means that you would not turn your neck, you would not turn your head back, you would not look behind you. عَلَى أَحَدٍ upon anyone. Meaning if anyone was behind you, you wouldn't even look at them. What does this express? What does this show? That you were just running in order to save your life. No matter who came your way, no matter who you left behind, you didn't care. All you wanted was security and safety for yourselves. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ. While the messenger was calling you, you wouldn't turn back and look at anyone, but the fact is that the messenger was calling you. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling you. Where? Fi ukhrakum, meaning in your behind. He was calling from behind you. Ukhra, from the root letters hamza khara, and the word ukhra is a feminine of akhir or akhar. It's the feminine of akhir or akhar. What does akhir mean? Last, and akhar, other. Over here it gives meaning of other, meaning behind. From other than you, from behind you, from your rear, he was calling you. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw that the mushrikeen had attacked and the Muslims were in chaos, he started calling out to the people, إِلَيَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. O servants of Allah, come to me. Come to me, إِلَيَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. But despite the fact that the messenger was calling them, they were running away in order to save themselves. And when this happened, what does Allah say? فَأَثَابَكُمْ غَمًّا بِغَمٍ. And then Allah repaid you, Allah recompensed you with gham upon gham, sorrow upon sorrow, loss upon loss. Why? Because the messenger was calling you and you wouldn't turn to him. You wouldn't respond to his call. أَثَابَ is from the root letters ثَوَابَ. The word ثَوَاب is from the same root. The word thawab is used for reward generally, but it's also used for recompense. And a recompense could be punishment, and it could also be reward. Right? So athaba, meaning he recompensed you, he gave you in exchange what? Ghammam bi ghamme. Gham is from the root letters ghain mim mim, and the word ghamma literally means to cover something. From the same root is the word ghamam. What is ghamam used for? Clouds. Why? Because they also cover the entire sky, and sometimes they cover up the sun as well, preventing the sunlight from reaching us. And just as on a rainy day people become very sad, similarly gham also makes a person sad. Gham is the pain and constriction in the heart that a person feels constriction, he feels some pain, obviously intangible pain. I mean, he feels very hurt, he feels very sad. Why? Because of something that has happened. Because of something that has happened. So he recompensed you with gham upon gham. You notice this ba, bi ghammin? This ba has been understood in two ways. First of all, it has been said that ba gives the meaning of ma'a. What does ma'a mean? With. Or it gives the meaning of ba'd. What does ba'd mean? After. Or it gives the meaning of ala. What does ala mean? On top of. So ghammam bi ghammin. Meaning gham with gham, multiplied gham, coupled with more gham, one on top of the other. What you suffered and that caused you grief, what you suffered next was worse than what you suffered previously. So one grief on top of the other one. It wasn't just one thing that you suffered from. It wasn't just one thing that was causing you hurt and pain and a sense of loss. No, it was one thing on top of the other. One along with the other. Ma'a, ala, ba'd. One after the other. One thing after the other. And what was it that the Muslims suffered then? They suffered defeat. It wasn't just defeat. They lost many of their companions. One after the other. 66 companions from the Ansar. And 4 from the Muhajirun. Ghammam bi ghammin. You know, if there's a loss of just one person or 10 people, that's a big loss. But if you find out this person has died, and then another person has died, and another person has been killed, that's gham along with gham. Gham after gham. Gham on top of gham. And it wasn't just the loss of the companions. They also heard that the Prophet ﷺ had died, that he had been killed. Similarly, they suffered many wounds. Those people who survived, they suffered many wounds. Similarly, when they ran away from the battlefield, that obviously caused them some gham. But when they heard that the Prophet ﷺ had died, that caused them more gham. So ghammam bi ghammin. Secondly, it has been said that this ba gives the meaning of because of. It's the ba of sabab. It gives the meaning of jaza. Athabakum ghamman bi gham. Why? Because of the gham that you cause to others. أثابكم غمّاً. Why? بغم. He gave you gham. Why? Because of the gham that you caused to the other. Who did they cause gham to? The Prophet ﷺ. How? By disobeying him. He was calling them and they weren't responding. So because they caused great gham to the Prophet ﷺ, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted upon them gham as well. غمّاً بغمّن. One gham on top of the other. One gham because of the gham. Why? لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا. So that you do not grieve. عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Over that which escaped you. Over that which you lost. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا. لِكَيْ لَا is connected with, first of all, عَفَى. In the previous ayah, we learned وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. And certainly he has pardoned you. So first of all, it has been said that likaila is connected with afa. Why did he pardon you? Why did he forgive you? Despite the fact that you were at fault, despite the fact that you made a big mistake, why did he forgive you? Why did he pardon you? So that you do not have any grief left. So that you do not have any grief left. Because the thing is that no matter what grief a person has, if a person is content with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with him, then no grief can make him sad. No grief can make him worried. Which is why we see that the prophets of Allah, the righteous people, no matter what they suffered, no matter what loss they suffered, once they knew that Allah was happy with them, they were content. They were fine. No matter what they suffered, no matter what they lost. For instance, Ayyub alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened with him? He lost so much. He had so much wealth, he lost it. He had health, he lost his health. He had children, he had family, he lost his family. But still, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to feel that
When I had it, I worshipped Allah. And when I don't have it, I still worship Allah. And this is why shaitan did not like that. So, a believer, when he is content with the fact that Allah is happy with him, then no gham can cause him any grief. No gham. He cannot suffer from any gham. So, afa ankum, why? So that you don't have that sense of loss. That yes, you lost so many of your companions. You suffered from loss in the battle. A battle that you were winning. Victory turned into defeat. But still, when you know that Allah pardoned you, why is He telling you that He has pardoned you? لِكَيْ لَا تَحْسَنُوا. So that you don't be sad anymore. Secondly, it has been said that لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا. This is connected with أَثَابَكُمْ. Where is أَثَابَكُمْ? أَثَابَكُمْ غَمَّمْ بِغَمِّمْ. That He recompensed you with gham after gham. One gham on top of the other gham. Why? So that you don't have any huzn left. You see, for example, children, they have a small cut on their finger. Such a big deal to them. Or if somebody starts working in the kitchen and they get a cut or they burn their finger or they have to wash the dishes, they think it's such a big deal. Right? But when you get used to it, you burn your finger, then your hand, then your elbow, then your arm. And these things happen and you get used to them. Isn't it? And then small things are not a big deal for you anymore. When? When you have experienced many, many gham. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you gham over gham so that you don't have any huzn left. You get used to it. You become tough. Tough, not in the sense of being very hard-hearted, but that you don't grieve over small, little, petty issues. That you don't grieve over petty issues. That you become tough. You become confident. You become brave. And a person who is not brave, what happens to him? He cannot face anything. He cannot face any challenge. He cannot face any difficulty. But when a person faces one thing after the other, then he develops the confidence. Just as when you gave your first test, how did you feel? How did you feel? Very worried. Fearful. But then after some time you get used to it. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them gham over gham so that they would forget what they suffered previously. They don't have any huzn left. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا. And tahzanu is from huzn. Huzn is used for such gham, such sorrow or such grief, such distress that a person feels because of a problem that has afflicted him. So لَا تَحْزَنُوا, so that you don't grieve. You don't feel any distress, you don't feel any sorrow, you don't feel any worry over the musibah that afflicts you, over the harm that you suffer. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا. عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Over that which has slipped you. فَاتَكُمْ. فَاتَ is from the root letters فَا وَوْتَ. And فَوْت is to slip away, to pass away. And from the same root, فَوْت in Urdu is also used for death. Why? Because a person has passed away. So you don't grieve over what has slipped you, over what you have lost, over what has escaped you. What did they lose? Booty. War booty. Now when they were standing on the mountain, on their positions, what was their concern? We want to share the booty. But then when they went into the battlefield, while the mushrikeen were retreating, and then they were attacked again by the mushrikeen, and then so many companions died, and they heard of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened then? Were they still concerned about the booty? No. And what they lost, it didn't matter to them anymore. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. For instance, if a person suffers from a big accident, a big car accident, and their car is completely finished, but the fact that they were saved, the fact that their children were fine, how do they feel about the car? Not that bad. Because alhamdulillah, they are fine. Alhamdulillah, their children are fine. Alhamdulillah, they were saved. So the loss of the car does not mean anything. Similarly, لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Over what you've lost, meaning the booty that you've lost, the victory that you've lost, you don't grieve over that anymore. وَلَا مَا أَصَابَكُمْ. Nor do you grieve over that which afflicted you. Meaning, nor do you grieve over the harm that you have suffered. What is the harm that they suffered? the loss of lives as well as defeat. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is aware of everything that you do. What do we learn from this? What do we learn from this ayah, from the beginning? That you shouldn't let little things affect you so much that you lose your courage. That I didn't get 29.5 and I only got 29.25. Huh? It's only a matter of 0.25 marks. It's not a big deal. Be grateful for what you have. So don't let little things affect you so much that you lose your confidence. Similarly, we learn that we should be positive in every situation. We should be positive in every situation, even in the most difficult times. If you see the Sahaba, they suffer from gham after gham, one hardship after other hardship, one loss after other loss. But isn't there some benefit in that? Isn't there some benefit in that? لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا مَا أَصَابَكُمْ. You become confident, you become brave, and you don't cry over little things, over what you've lost, or over what has struck you, over what you've suffered. No, that you become brave. So in everything that happens to a believer, there is always some benefit. So a person should always remain positive. Sometimes you wonder, you suffer from one difficulty, then another difficulty, and things just get more and more tough, more and more difficult. So don't be negative at that time, rather be positive. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that show me what you want me to learn from this. Sometimes you want something to happen and it doesn't happen. And you're trying your best. You're trying one thing, you try another thing, you talk to one person, you talk to another person, still it doesn't work out. There must be some khair in it. Similarly, you're trying to avoid something, but you can't avoid it. There must be some khair in it. So in every situation, a person should remain positive. Also we learn that one is to learn something in a classroom from a textbook through a lecture, and another is to learn something through experience. We know that we should be patient. We know that we shouldn't grieve over little things. But when do you really learn this lesson? When you experience. When you experience. So the Sahaba, they were taught by the Prophet ﷺ, but they also went to the battle. They also suffered loss and defeat over there. Why? Because experience teaches you in a way that a lecture doesn't teach you, that a book doesn't teach you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting you into a difficult situation, know that it's an experience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go through. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to learn something. Also we learn that sometimes you have days in which you suffer from one thing on top of the other. What should you do? Don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. You leave the house in the morning, you couldn't have breakfast, or you couldn't clear up the kitchen, or you didn't have time to iron your hijab, or you tried ironing your clothes and you burnt them. You go back home, you start cooking, and you burn the food. So one thing after the other goes wrong. It happens with us. So at this time, what do people do? That's it. I can't do anything. They give up, they start crying, they break down. But in this situation, what should you do? Break down and start crying? No. Don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn that He is exposing you to difficulty. غَمَّا بِغَمٍ. Why? لِكَيْ لَا تَحْسَنُ. So that you don't give too much importance to little things. So what if you broke a glass? I mean, yes, you should be careful, but it's not the end of the world. There are much bigger things that people break. And how much does it cost anyway? Maybe a dollar, maybe a few cents, maybe half of a dollar, 50 cents, something very small. So is it really worth crying about? Is it really worth something that you should fight over? In these situations, when we're positive, when we stay in control, then we're not only helping ourselves, but we're also helping other people. We're also helping other people around us, because they also gain courage when they see us. And this is tawasal bilhaq wa tawasal bilsabr. That you encourage each other, yourself and also other people, to sabr. How? By the way that you react.